Chapter 31.
Listen, listen, I would take a whisper if that's all you had to give. But it isn't, is it? You could come and save me and try to chase it crazy right out of my head.
Master Qui-Gon Jinn did not look particularly well, Plo thought. He hadn't been monitoring the other master's progress all that closely in the past 3 months, focused as he was on his precious Padawan and the recent council upheaval. Due to his status as Obi-Wan's new master, Plo was excluded from the ongoing investigation into Jin's actions. Mace was as well, and had been even prior to their move into new quarters. Yaddle was the one spearheading the efforts, what with her unique investigative qualifications as head of the shadows. The smaller master had come to him only once, around 6 weeks into Obi-Wan's apprenticeship. She had broached the topic of questioning Obi-Wan for more specific details of his time with Jin. Though Obi-Wan had given a broad overview of their time together, it only became more and more obvious that there were things he did not say. John's small comments had the investigative team concerned about the depths of Jin's neglect. Yaddle wanted to know Plo's thoughts about prodding Obi-Wan for more information. When Plo consulted the Force, the answer had been unclear. While he wanted to know exactly the harm done to the precious child in his care, he was also reluctant to set Obi-Wan back in his recovery. Without the Force to provide, Plo had done the intelligent thing and consulted Obi-Wan's mind healer. Healer Fanal had been firm. Without disclosing the specifics of our sessions, Padawan Kenobi struggles to acknowledge that Master Jin's treatment was wrong at all, the healer said. He is not dishonest, but he is selective in what he discloses. I truly believe that if you were to question him without prior evidence, he would simply shut down or dissemble. Perhaps in several months, if I am able to assist him with gaining some perspective, you can try again. It had been more than a month since that conversation, but Healer Fanal had made no mention of Obi-Wan being ready. Quite frankly, the idea that she had even agreed to Obi-Wan meeting with Master Jin was surprising. Obi-Wan looked visibly nervous as he settled across the conference room table from Jin. Plo sent him a pulse of warmth, reassurance, down their bond that did absolutely nothing to unwind the tension from his Padawan's shoulders. Jin was similarly tense. The other master had dark circles under his eyes and surprisingly hollow cheeks. There was dirt embedded under his fingernails, and the nails themselves were ragged and unkempt. Plo could see that the back of Jin's knuckles were red as if he'd recently been in a fight. The stubborn set to the man's jaw was familiar. It was the same look Jin wore defending his actions in front of an unimpressed council. The way that he eyed Plo was unfriendly, to say the least. The emotion was mostly masked under the remnants of Jin's famous aloofness. When the master's gaze shifted to Obi-Wan, the obvious dislike vanished. "Master Jin, it's nice to see you," Obi-Wan said, a tad awkwardly. "Padawan Kenobi," Jin inclined his head. "You look well." Obi-Wan did, and it was something Plo was proud to have a hand in. That half-starved and exhausted boy who had cowered before the council and shielded John with his body in the bowels of the temple was nowhere to be seen. Plo was proud to look at Obi-Wan now, still thin but not unhealthily so, with eyes far less shadowed after regular and consistent rest in a bed. "Thank you," Obi-Wan said. Plo watched his little one shift in his seat for a moment. "I see you've been working the gardens. Found any new pathetic life forms?" Obi-Wan's tone was light, but clearly forced. Jin didn't take the offering for what it was. "No," he said, voice displeased. "I have been confined to the temple, as you well know." Plo pushed down his alarm at the strong sense of guilt-regret that leaked from his connection to Obi-Wan before the Padawan shut it down. He made to step forward, but Obi-Wan spoke before he could. "Master, please, you have to believe that I never intended that to happen." Plo waited to see Jin's response. He wasn't impressed. The other master shook his head. "Don't trouble yourself, Padawan Kenobi. I would hardly presume that a Padawan had any say in the council's decisions. Obi-Wan flinched, just slightly. Plo frowned, glad that the expression was hidden by his respirator. He didn't appreciate the casual disregard in Master Jin's words, nor did he find Obi-Wan's flinch encouraging. Right, well, let us cease with the politicking, Jin said mildly. The words had Plo's Padawan staring fixedly at the table. Why did you request this meeting, Padawan Kenobi? When I made overtures in the past 3 months, I was thoroughly rebuffed. I must admit that I am at a loss as to what has changed. Obi-Wan's shoulders hunched. Plo stepped forward. He lightly rested a hand on Obi-Wan's shoulder, taking note of the way his Padawan tensed before relaxing back into it. That is an inquiry that should be directed toward me, Master Jin, Plo said with just a touch of frost in his voice. I was the one who decided that it was not the right time for contact. I saw no reason to deny Obi-Wan's request for a meeting. I've found that the pace of these things should be set by the wronged party, wouldn't you agree? Wronged party? Master Jin snapped, one eyebrow raised incredulously. You speak as if... Why didn't you want me? Obi-Wan blurted, loud enough to stop them both in their tracks. His little one flushed at their sudden attention. He seemed to find his courage and continued, even with the weight of their eyes on him. Was it something I did? Was there something wrong with me? Plo wondered when Obi-Wan would stop breaking his heart so frequently. It couldn't be good for his health. And hearing the certainty in his voice that it was something he had done, surely Master Jin would. The fault does not rest solely on you, Padawan, Master Jin said in. Was it meant to be reassurance? You learned things like lightsaber craft and survival skills quite quickly, to your credit, but your quick temper makes you impulsive, your predisposition toward attachments is a challenge, and your visions constantly distract you from the present moment. You are capable of being a Jedi, given a master who can teach you to walk the line without falling into darkness. With time apart, I have come to see that master is not me. We were always poorly suited, Padawan Kenobi. And I did not want any Padawan after Xanatos. You were not an exception. Plo did not have the words to describe the feeling in his chest. Were he to attempt to produce Emerald Lightning in this moment, the results would be unforgivable. Several times, he intended to cut Jin off, perhaps with a well-earned hit to the face, a desire almost foreign in its intensity. Each time, Obi-Wan sent a rush of, wait, please, not yet, in the Force. It was only that plea and Plo's unwillingness to worsen the devastation, resignation, hurt he could sense behind Obi-Wan's impressive shields that held him back. I see, Obi-Wan said, voice faint. Well, you've answered my question, Master Jin. That was all I required you for. Plo's Padawan turned away from Jin fast enough to miss the look of offense on the other master's face. His precious Padawan looked up at Plo. May I be excused, Master? Plo felt a deep welling of relief. He wanted Obi-Wan far away from Jin, permanently. To hear any master speak as such to a Padawan, a child, who was asking if there was something broken about them, it was cruel. Concerningly cruel, from one who dared to call themselves a Jedi. Of course, little one, Plo said. He smoothed back Obi-Wan's hair before allowing the boy to stand. Despite all the healing Jin had likely just undone, his Padawan still leaned into the touch. Obi-Wan stood. Plo heard the door open, while he kept his eyes fixed on Jin. From the way the man shifted uncomfortably, Plo was certain his goggles did nothing to hide his glare. Just one last thing, Master Jin, Obi-Wan said. Plo half turned to see his Padawan. Obi-Wan did not turn to look at them, halfway through the doorway as he was. For all your surety that darkness was in my future, the only darkness I have ever come close to was that of others. Obi-Wan looked over his shoulder just long enough for Plo and presumably Jin to see the accusation in his eyes that mirrored his words. Curiouser and curiouser. A good last jab as well. Mace and John would be pleased to hear of it, once they'd strung Plo and Obi-Wan up for this fool's errand. With Obi-Wan safely away from the situation, Plo rested the full force of his ire on Jin. "I am disappointed to be named a master in the same order as you, Qui-Gon Jinn. Of all the bile you just spit, only two things were true. You were not a good enough master for the boy that is perhaps the best of us all. Obi-Wan is, however, quick at picking up lightsaber forms, even more so when it is a form he is actually suited for, unlike Ataru." Master Jin gaped in a rather unseemly fashion. Abruptly, Plo decided he'd had enough of the conversation. He wanted to help Obi-Wan process the fallout of this meeting, report every minute of it to Yaddle, and take his well-earned scolding from Jon and Mace. Spending even a second longer pandering to Qui-Gon Jinn's superiority complex was not on his priority list. "You did what?" It was just before late meal, and the first time that Jon had seen Obi-Wan since the morning. His friend had calmed him to beg off mid-meal due to a prior engagement with Master Plo. That should have been enough to arouse Jon's suspicions, but instead, he'd been too busy being proud of his friend, seeing him strengthen his connection with his master, unwinding just a little more each day. Jon had been excited about it. He should have known that Obi-Wan was up to something, for him to calm rather than poke along their bond. Obi-Wan shifted awkwardly, ears just barely red. He didn't meet Jon or Mace's eyes, but Jon could still read the lack of repentance in his friend's body language. Unable to find words, Jon turned to his master, who looked similarly discomfited. With Mace, it was even more subtle, just the slight crinkling of his eyebrows and a certain set to his lips that only 9 months of apprenticeship had taught Jon to read. Emboldened by the situation, Jon poked at their bond and sent Mace a surge of offended outrage. Mace flicked a quick glance Jon's direction and returned his message with a burst of, "Agree, same." "I met briefly with Master Jin. There was information he possessed that I needed," Obi-Wan repeated. Jon made a noise not unlike a tea kettle boiling over. It was taking every last ounce of control he had not to pounce on Obi-Wan then and there. Mace had taken his impromptu food fight well, but bodily throwing himself at the other Padawan in front of him was perhaps a bit not good. If Obi-Wan kept talking, however, he made no promises. "I find it hard to believe that Plo sanctioned such an action," Mace said pointedly. With impeccable timing, the door to their suite slid open. Master Plo stepped calmly into the living area and judged the state of the room with only a glance. "I see you two have wasted no time in beginning your interrogation." Obi-Wan's shoulders slumped slightly, some of the tension dispelled in light of having an ally at his back. Jon ignored the part of himself that was pleased at the reaction. Mace raised an eyebrow at his fellow master. "Yes, well, we can proceed with you here, of course. What possessed you to allow Jin into the same room as Obi-Wan?" Plo huffed. "I was not enamored with the idea, to be clear, but Obi-Wan assured me that his mind healer had allowed for the meeting, and I thought it better they meet with supervision rather than the little one seeking Jin out on his own." Plo gave the impression of frowning. "Though after what occurred, I am more sure than ever that Jin has put very little effort into self-improvement." Mace looked mildly appeased, but Jon's gaze didn't leave his friend. There was nothing suspicious about his posture, no overt sign of dishonesty. But Obi-Wan was an excellent liar and incredibly skilled at misdirection. That meant Jon had to rely on what he knew as fact, not whatever clues his friend's responses could give. "There is no way Healer Fanal agreed to this meeting," Jon said flatly. All eyes turned to Jon. Obi-Wan's face still gave nothing away, but Jon was unswayed. "A month ago, she was entirely against it." "Maybe she changed her mind. I've been making progress," Obi-Wan said calmly. Jon snorted. "Not that much. How did you word it exactly?" He shouldn't be exposing Obi-Wan like this in front of their masters, but Jon was not impressed with his actions. His friend absolutely hid this from Jon on purpose, so he deserved his comeuppance. Jon would ensure the Masters didn't actually do Obi-Wan any harm. Jon could feel Master Plo's dawning realization in the Force. He said that Healer Fanal hadn't said anything against it for weeks. And then all eyes turned to Obi-Wan. "Too easy," John said, "considering you haven't mentioned it to her in weeks." Obi-Wan maintained his calm facade for a moment more before huffing and crossing his arms. "I didn't lie. It was true from a certain point of view." That was simply too much. John couldn't help himself. He launched himself forward. Obi-Wan hit the floor with a squawk. "John!" From his place, sitting on Obi-Wan's chest, he heard Mace snort. "It seems like my Padawan's universal response to politicking is violence," Mace said dryly. It wasn't John's fault that he found all of the careful doublespeak and dishonesty of most diplomacy horrifically boring. If everyone would just say what they meant, life would be a lot easier. "As if his response isn't the same one you're carefully stuffing down, my friend," Master Plo returned. Mace's sigh was incredibly put out, but John could feel the amusement trickling down their bond as John kept Obi-Wan trapped in a gentle headlock. "Salah," Obi-Wan gasped. "I get it." John eased off obediently. "Did you get what you were looking for from Jyn at least?" John asked after his friend had a chance to catch his breath. Obi-Wan's expression did something complicated. It settled on acceptance, of all things, with just a touch of deep sorrow underneath. "Yes, I did. We were never suited for each other, and the things that happened as a result weren't my fault, or his." John wasn't sure whether to cheer or scream. To hear Obi-Wan say it wasn't his fault, and believe it, that was incredible growth. But still, he gave far too much leeway and forgiveness to Jyn. Well, he still had a mind healer for a reason, John supposed. John scrambled to his feet and held out a hand. Obi-Wan took it. The moment his friend was steady on his feet, John darted in for a quick hug. "You're a moron," he whispered quietly, "but you don't have to hide things from me." Obi-Wan huffed, but embraced him back tightly. John stepped back and took his rightful place at Obi-Wan's side, looking lovingly at their masters. Mace and Master Plo shared a quick glance, the eye contact clear even through Master Plo's goggles. "While I am not entirely pleased by your deception, little one," Master Plo stated, "I am glad the meeting brought you some peace. I should have listened to my instincts and confirmed with your mind healer myself, so the fault lies partially with me." John watched carefully as the Kaldor smoothed back some of Obi-Wan's unruly auburn hair. "In the future, I would appreciate if you tell me the whole truth and trust me to hear you out. I am always willing to listen, little one." Obi-Wan shifted. "I will try, Master," Obi-Wan said, a bit stiffly. Mace smiled at them both, mouth still but eyes crinkling at the corners. "I suppose I should be grateful that my Padawan is far more likely to cause property damage than maneuver around me like Obi-Wan." There was no censure in his voice, only amusement. John nudged at Mace in the force, offended. He couldn't really defend himself, though, the assessment being as accurate as it was. "Now, I think we are overdue for a nice, relaxing late meal in front of a mindless hollow. How about you two get settled while I reheat our food?" Mace said. He waved John and Obi-Wan toward the couch and unsubtly towed Master Plo with him toward the kitchen. Obi-Wan followed them with his eyes for a moment, brow crinkled. John huffed and tugged at the other Padawan's arm until he was forced to follow him. John deposited Obi-Wan next to the arm of the couch and settled close behind him. John's friend relaxed slightly at being boxed in. Obi-Wan leaned into John's warmth. Overall, John was content with how that had gone. Mace and Master Plo returned with late meal. As they ate, John found himself less and less concerned with the space Mace had left between them on the couch. Obi-Wan had not only lied to his master, but manipulated events in his favor. While he'd been scolded, he hadn't been hurt or berated or unfairly punished. John had roughhoused with Obi-Wan like he was a creshling and not practically a senior Padawan, and Mace had only radiated fond amusement. It was possible that they were really, truly safe, in a way John barely knew what to do with. Could they afford to trust it? Deep in thought as he was, John missed the moment that Obi-Wan fell asleep. He only noticed when the heavy, warm weight of his friend's head made contact with his shoulder. John froze. Obi-Wan looked peaceful, curled up as he was with his legs tucked under his body. As always, John feared for his neck when the bigger boy rested against him like this. John had never seen Obi-Wan sleep around anyone except him. Part of John felt the overwhelming need to wake him. They were in the living area, around two adults, two masters, and Obi-Wan was uniquely vulnerable as he slept. But the other part of John was odd. Obi-Wan felt safe enough to sleep around them. Obi-Wan's subconscious felt safe enough to sleep around them. John looked away from his friend to judge whether the masters had noticed. Of course they had. Master Plo's expression was adoring, obvious through his goggles and respirator. Mace's face had softened, and the emotions he sent along the bond to John were warm, trust-honored care affection. "We would be happy to guard both your dreams, my Padawan, if you would like to rest," Mace said. His voice was low, and Obi-Wan didn't so much as stir. And that was another thing entirely. Obi-Wan had apparently felt safe enough to sleep with the masters here, but did John? When he consulted with himself and reached out to the Force, he came to the startling realization that he did. It didn't make sense for Mace or Master Plo to hurt them after all they had done for the two of them. And the Force was calm and peaceful, almost crooning a lullaby to them both. John swallowed nervously. And then he shifted, laying down on the couch and bringing Obi-Wan with him. They took up a little less than half the space, with the way that Obi-Wan was curled up. His friend must have been exhausted to not awaken from all the movement. John hooked his chin over Obi-Wan's head, back pressed into the cushions. The change in positions left the top of his own head perilously close to Mace's thigh. Close, but not quite touching. John imagined he could feel the warmth from his master's body radiating out to brush against his hair. John's eyes closed of their own accord. He, too, was more tired than he thought he was. Between the low hum of the hollow in the background and the soft crooning of the Force, John sank beneath the waves of sleep easily. Before he dropped off entirely, he felt a blanket tucked around his body. A hand hovered by his head, not quite touching his hair. "Rest well, my Padawan." John slept. End of chapter 31.